Hi, Tim Roy for Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors. And we're getting ready for the NBA draft, which is coming up on Wednesday the 18th, to help us get an overview of the draft. NBA scout Ryan Blake joins us. And Ryan, first of all, thank you so much for helping us out. And this is your time of year.
Yeah, this is my time of the year, and it's going to be such a weird one because, you know, we're going to be doing it virtually. I'm usually behind the scenes when the picks come in now. Now we're going to have the front office, the league office, all on the Zoom call or whatever technology it is. And, you know, and it's going to be one of those where we're really going to follow it, you know, with our, you know, with since not a, a little bit of a nervousness because we don't know in this type of draft where a lot of these players are going, and that it is a deep draft.
You know, it's interesting you said that. But I wanted to. You talked about being a little bit weird. I'm sure you had this draft kind of mapped out in March when the NBA had to shut down. But did it make it a little more difficult to get ready for because of the fact that, you know, there weren't a lot of. And I know from the team perspective, it was more difficult because the workouts weren't the way it was. The combine wasn't the way it normally was. And even, of course, now we're talking about a draft in November. It is a very odd draft.
It is. You know, we didn't get to see some of the collection of intel or, you know, just some of the games from NCAA tournaments, from the college senior tournament Portsmouth that I helped run, the G League showcase, the pre-draft combine, and the combine. Now, we like to look at that as a kind of like a circle graph, and you're just shading in different parts. So even getting sleepers or guys that, you know, come out and go, oh, we can open up some more doors for those type of people. We might find a Derek White or, you know, someone like a Desmond Bane in this year's draft that could be moving up. Or guys that you had liked in March that you go, they should still be up, you know, in the draft. But are you able to see them enough? Are you able to get enough? Enough information. You know, you couldn't see them in a lot of individual workouts or three-on-three play, a lot of those things. So it's going to be interesting for the scouts to make that decision. Those scouts that have done, that did their homework a little bit earlier that may have gotten insight or in-person scouting, they may feel a little bit more comfortable. But during the offseason, absolutely, they watched a lot of video.
Now, you said it was a deep draft. Tell me your overview on this draft. What do you like about it?
Well, I think the question that I usually get is, who's going to be the franchise player? And you're not necessarily drafting the first round. I mean, you obviously want a franchise player, but if you draft someone that's going to be around for 10 years on your team and is going to make an impact on both ends of the floor, you're still going to get them cheap, whether it's the lottery or anywhere else. But I think when you look even into the second round and you have players that may, let's say, fall or rise there, you've got an unbelievable amount of players that go down from every, let's say, old school five positions, even though there's not five positions in the NBA. I mean, you got your bigs, you got internationals, you got point guards, you've got some really good shooters, you got versatile bigs, you've got big or sort of point forwards. And I think when you look at a roster and you're trying to figure out what you need, you're looking at about, you know, 9 to 19 different positions. And as a team is making it up, they don't necessarily have to say, okay, well, I'm going to either pick or choose the best player available or maybe the best player in that position if you can't decipher between two guys.
When you talk about, you know, the five positions in the NBA, how much is getting ready for a draft changed with the emphasis on players who can guard multiple positions? And, you know, we used to call them tweeners, and now everybody looks for those kind of guys.
Well, a tweener is someone that can't play, and a swing is someone who can, and that's what I say. So, versatility in every sport will open up doors and get you playing time. I think players in this draft won't make an immediate impact or see the hardwood unless they play defense. So they have to have that defensive ability in order to get those reps or time. And I think versatility helps as the game changes and you need someone that can shoot outside. If you can shoot, pass, and rebound, and defend, you know, on the ball defender, et cetera. that makes you a more valuable player. You know, I mentioned Desmond Bane before, but he's a 6'6 guard at a TCU. If you look at his numbers, they don't light you up, but he's a senior that, you know, can do all those things. But you also have other players like Isaac Okoro from Auburn, who kind of matches up with Isaac as well, with that same kind of mentality as that defender, with the upside of becoming that shooter, that playmaker, that go-to scorer. And then you're also looking at him. A lot of teams will look at a player that has that go-to mentality, that a player that can that wants the ball, that can score, but will also spend time and effort on the defensive end.
LaMelo Ball is a guy that I think we hear, you know, that he's so talented, but some scouts have told me that they love him. Some say they're not so sure. Where do you put him, and what's your scouting report on him?
Yeah, it's a beauty in the eye of the beholder thing. You know, he didn't play a full season down in Australia. You know, you have a big point guard that has a great ball handling ability, great vision, can really knows how to win, has the experience and confidence at that height, and with the athleticism, it's very intriguing. Yet we don't know how he can shoot. He has sort of this crutch in his shooting. It's been off for a while, so we don't know how that's going to be. We don't know how it's going to translate to the next level. Although he played at a high level in Australia, you know, there's still a gauge that you have to figure out, college into the next level as well.
James Wiseman out of Memphis is a guy that's projected to go pretty high. He's a guy that's really, he's massive. He's a huge human being. What do you see for him and project for him?
I think we projected him early to go number one, you know, before he entered college, and he only ended up playing a couple of games. But his ceiling is so high. He's so big. He's so athletic. He's just a guy that can, with such an upside, that can be a rim protector, can spread the floor a little bit, can block shots, decent passer, good defender, and he's just going to get bigger and better. The ceiling's the limit, really. Sky's the limit, excuse me.
Anthony Edwards, he's obviously, you're right there in outside of Atlanta, so you're familiar with Anthony Edwards. And again, another guy, maybe beauty in the eyes of the beholder, because you hear different things about him.
Yeah, Edwards is a great size, unbelievable athlete who can play both guard spots. He's a guy that his teammates rally around. He's a leader vocally and by example. Good kid. He can be a kind of that three-level scorer with just that charisma to match.
And, you know, when I hear people talk about drafts and they say, oh, this is not a great draft or anything, I always say, you know, there's always a gem be out there. Who are some of the gems that maybe you see going in the second round that could end up having long NBA careers?
That's a good question. Sam Merrill at Utah State, who's a big guard who could play both guard spots, and he's an unbelievable shooter. And he's one of those guys that I think when his coaches and his teammates and his opponents, they fear him, and he's got this calmness to it, and he's an older kid too. He's a senior, but he's a guy that I think can come in. His only questions will be, will he be able to defend the perimeter position? Also, Paul Reed out of DePaul, who's a 6'10 big, who's a double-double guy. He can pass, he can block, he makes assists, and steals. This is a guy that I don't understand is why he's not up there in the first round. And if you put him up there with even Precious Achiuwa from Memphis, or even a Jaden McDaniels and a Zeke from Arizona, you'll have a hard time going, okay, why do you like him more? You know, then we can sit here in between you and me, and you can say, I like Zeke more, and you won't be wrong. And that's the tough thing about this. So it's going to be that guy that is that the team that can pull the trigger on the guy with the maximum confidence and take these guys in. And there's going to be a lot of guys in the second round, or excuse me, that don't get drafted, that their phone's going to be running off, you know, ringing off the hook to get them in the training camp. And we'll be able to make an NBA team.
Just a couple more questions. I'm intrigued with two sons of former NBA players because I saw them play in a high school tournament, and that's Cole Anthony and Nico Mannion. What do you like about them?
Yeah, Nico's a great, great playmaker, just an unbelievable playmaker. I think he struggled, or he didn't dominate as much as what we expected of him. And again, he played, you know, three quarters of a season. I think that he's going to get better. I think he also has the drive, and I think that's important. He has the drive and the confidence to get to a higher level. He's had that experience at the high level, not only in high school but internationally, playing at the Nike Hoop Summit. He's a guy that I think is going to have a tremendous, you know, opportunity. And Cole Anthony is also another guy that I think that, although he didn't shoot the ball as well as we thought he would, you know, I think he's a top 20 prospect. He's got good size, plays within himself, and he wants to win.
Before I let you go, I had to ask you about your dad, Marty. When I first got to the NBA, I'd have this conversation with Marty before every draft. And, of course, he was the general manager of those great St. Louis Hawks teams. For folks who don't know, the Hawks were once in St. Louis. They won the NBA title there against the great Celtic dynasty. What was it like growing up under a guy that had such a wealth of NBA knowledge?
Yes, my dad, photographic memory, working with him, traveling with him since I was 5 years old. I remember going into an ABA game with, and ball boying for, Dr. J and, you know, and Billy Cunningham of the Carolina Cougars, and my dad running around and just talking. He loved it. But he lived it. You know, there's so many good stories, and I wish he would have written a biography, before he passed. You know, he loved basketball. He loved being around everybody in basketball. And I think basketball misses him as well. But he gave me an opportunity. You know, I got to go around and get some of the best education from guys like Jerry West and Gene Tremolin and you know, and some of the greats just hanging around him. All I had to do was listen. You know, you can't pay for that four-year school when you had it for life.
That's really well said. Ryan Blake, NBA scout, we appreciate your time as always, and stay safe and enjoy the draft. That's Ryan Blake, NBA head scout. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warriors.com, where you can stay for all your Warriors draft information.